Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. It is now time for Inside Matters, Spiritual Talk, Healing Dumb, Right? Spiritual Growth, 12-Step Indigo, Meditation, and much, much more, hosted by Duchess and Jewel.
Hey, hosted by Duchess and Jules, we're back, and this must be the first Sunday of October. We're in a new month. I want to thank my Creator for blessing us for this opportunity to share our energy and our spirits with everyone out there. And let me introduce my co-host, Miss Jules. Are you out there, Jules?
All the time. I'm right here, Duchess. I'm right here. Oh, my goodness. I have been going through so much. The Inside Matters, I just love this show. Why? Because then I can show that I am just like everybody else. I'm no greater or no less than anybody out there. Duchess, I had to surrender my dog. I really did. 8 years I've loved this little dog, and I understand how people feel when they have to give up something that they love, but I had to give her to the Cocker Spaniel Rescue Mission because she was sick, and I could not get the surgery for her, and so I had to surrender her, and now I had to learn detachment. I found out detachment was good for the soul and the spirit, and I had to detach. I had to detach from a lot of things, but that was a big one. That was a big one.
So tell us about this rescue. Tell us about this rescue place. You know, what's the name of it? Maybe some of the members out there want to donate to it. What about it? Tell us about it. I mean, are they going to keep her alive? They're going to keep her alive? You know, what are they going to do?
Okay, thank you. I was about to get a little tear in my throat. It's called OBG, Oldie But Goodies, and that's what it stands for, Oldie But Goodies, and they call it surrendering. You surrender your Cocker Spaniel, and they love Cocker Spaniels. These people absolutely go nutty for Cocker Spaniels. This one lady who lives in Virginia, she has 11 Cocker Spaniels. So, yes, they only take Cocker Spaniels, old, young puppies, older Cocker Spaniels, and she has a better chance of being adopted, where people just love Cocker Spaniels. Why? Because they treat them. They don't kill them. They treat their needs, and they put them in foster homes. So she's in a foster home, and after she gets treated, she had an ear infection, which is common for Cocker Spaniels because their ears are floppy, so the water gets down there in their ears, and you can't get it, and her ear is swollen shut, so she needs to get rid of the whole ear canal. It was very expensive, so they do need donations. And they have a lot of Cocker Spaniels being surrendered over to them, and they're only volunteers. So the whole corporation is funded by only volunteers. But it's a closed adoption. Once you surrender your dog, you sign the papers, you are giving your Cocker Spaniel to them. Don't expect to hear back from them because they don't like a lot of phone calls. How's my dog doing? What's my dog doing? This and that. I might see her on the internet, but I will not hear from the adoptive parent. So.
Right.
Yes, right. So I had to surrender my puppy.
I was on the internet one day, and I saw one of those rescue missions, and they had a dog on there, and the dog was shaved down because the dog had a type of skin disease, and it needed to be treated with lots of medication and stuff like that. And they were asking, was there anyone out there that was, you know, affiliated with them, their volunteers and things, that wanted to donate to the care of that particular breed of dog So I guess this is the type of rescue agency that you had to surrender, that you had to surrender your Papa Spaniard to, because
right.
you did not have the financial means to take care of her so that she could have a healthy, you know, continuing of her life. And I think that you're to be applauded for that. You know,
thank
we know
you.
Your heart's hurting, but you know, why would you want to see your pet in pain and suffering?
Right. And a lot of people
know.
Said, why? I mean, why did you have to give her to the Cocker Spaniel? What do you think? She's all that. But I could have taken her to any rescue mission, but like some of the rescue missions said, she would be better off with a her breed type of rescue mission because she had a lot of things against her. You know, she was 8 years old. You know, she had a condition. So Cocker Spaniel Rescue Mission, they love that type of breed. So they would have been more, what is it, applicable? What is it,
more apt to assist her and help her with her condition rather than another breed's rescue mission. You know, they may feel like, you know, nobody's going to come to us for a Cocker Spaniel. You
right,
know,
right.
Whereas everybody, people who want Cocker Spaniels will go to the rescue mission that you gave yours, turned yours over to, you know. So, yeah,
right.
She was a cutie pie. She was a cutie
yeah,
pie.
Yeah, she was
and,
with her floppy ears.
Yeah, you're going to see her. You're going to see her, even if it's on the website. You're going to see her. You know,
well, if anyone
say,
loves Cocker Spaniels and, you know, her name is Coco and her name, if there's other Cocos out there, they call her Coco Beans. And that is Oldie But Goodies and they're in Virginia. So anybody wants to donate to them or go and adopt, you know, different Cocker Spaniels, that is a place to go to. Also, there's one in Annapolis, which they are really, really, really hurting for donations where, you know, people are putting up their houses for these dogs. And I'm just like, wow, now that's a love for a dog where they're trying to support those dogs. So Annapolis needs a lot of donations.
Right.
I don't even
well,
know what Annapolis
you sound
is,
like...
so.
So, anything
like
else going on?
Well, I had, yes, I do. I have my partner. She just turned, never mind, but her birthday was October the 2nd. I will not reveal her age. She'll probably hurt me, but she's the same age as my older brother. So if anybody out there knows how old my older brother is, that's the same age as she. Also, Duchess, I just found out.
Yes.
I just found out that I just admitted to myself I'm a compulsive overeater. Yes.
Oh, boy. You know what? You don't remember, but you've admitted that on many shows that we've had in the past. Okay?
Are you serious? Wait,
You just keep readmitting it to yourself.
Yes, because I keep just falling through the whole, I'm doing what I need to do, so.
Do you know how many listeners heard you talk about that that muffin?
Oh, my goodness, you are right. Oh, my goodness, I'm sorry,
you
my
about?
Listeners. I can't help
talk
it.
About that
I'm
muffin.
Just gaining weight, and
yeah,
I need to
put
in
that card.
Yeah, that's
only because you don't have Coco to walk. Yeah, you need to get out and walk and pretend you're walking Coco.
Right.
So,
I need to.
Okay.
Go ahead. I am finished for the day.
Okay. You're not finished for the day. I'm just going to share a little bit of what's been going on in my world. And then we're
okay.
going to get on with this topic because the topic is really, really exciting. At least I think, you know, most of our topics are exciting. We're going to be talking about how do we create our own reality. But, I've had a very interesting 2 weeks since the last time we spoke, since we did Grandpa's Wings on the Ancestors show. I've been to an intuitive, and that was a very interesting experience because she talked about a couple of energies that were coming through, and two times male energies came through, and based upon what she was describing with the first one, I knew that was my father coming through, and she said he was a little bit nervous, well, not nervous, you know, well, an intuitive has to use the words that come out of their mouth, their vocabulary to describe. You know, I don't know that spirits feel nervous, but she was saying how he felt a little bit, how do you say, reserved coming through because he and I were estranged, and yeah, you know, when he passed on, I think he was unfair to his children, but that's neither here nor there. That's a forgiving thing that I probably have to work through another day, another time, or when I get off the air. And then there was the second male energy was my grandfather, my maternal grandfather, and I knew it was him because she was saying that number one, he was sick, number two, she could taste medicine, and she had the taste of cigarettes in beer. Cigarettes in her mouth. And lo and behold, that was my granddaddy, okay? And she said he had the attitude of, I've been doing this all my life, and just because I'm this age, I'm not going to stop doing. You know how cantankerous people can be when they get up in age? I've been smoking all my life, and I don't care if I have what y'all call emphysema. I'm going to keep right on smoking because that's what I've been doing all my life, and ain't nobody going to make me stop. You know, that's the way older people can be. And then I took a friend, went with a friend to a natural path, and that was like really fascinating. That's an Ayurvedic doctor, and what they do is they look at you from a spiritual perspective, and they look at you from a more Eastern perspective. You know, they look at your tongue and they can tell you whether your body is hot energy, cold energy, and they can prescribe the herbs for different organs in your body that doctors can't even begin to think to look that way. So that was really interesting. And I met a woman who does aromatherapy and essential oils. And I'm thinking maybe we should have a show like that. What do you think about that, Jewel? Want to do aromatherapy and essential oils?
Yes.
Well, I'm going to contact her to see if she wants to come on the air and talk about it. Because one of the most beautiful things that I enjoy doing is you know what? I called up my housing office the other day, and I thought I didn't have any hot water. Because I want to take a bath. And you know what the young girl told me over at the office? She said, a bath? A bath? You want to take a bath? That's so 80s. What's up
That's
with
so
people 80s. Talking about a bath? That's so 80s, taking a bath. Like, I should, like, come into the now times and because showers are the same.
Oh,
you believe that? That's so 80s. But I love taking a quarter cup to a half a cup of baking soda, half a cup of sea salt, and 10 drops of sage essential oil, and just letting the sage just walk through the steam in the bathroom, and it's really beautiful. And if you are prone to showers, you want to take a shower, then after you take your bubble bath and your sage and sea salt and baking soda, then get up and shower off. But I think showers are for people who are in a hurry. A bath is for a person who wants to sit down with bubble baths and, you know, and I told my mother, I said, that's why they got all these salons for people who want to put their feet in that paraffin. What do you call that? What do you call it? Oh, my God. Wax. You know, use all that wax and stuff because they don't sit down and use the pumice stone and relax and enjoy a nice bath. That's cool.
Because it's so 80s, because everyone nowadays is on the go. I mean, they have to run and go and this and that. That's why their brains is just so relax. You know, you've been on the go all day long. Now it's time to just relax. People don't have time for that anymore. That's sad. That's really
sad
that they don't have time for themselves. They
gotta
pay to have time for themselves. $25 to sit down and soak their feet. And that's it. Get your little nails done. You gotta pay for time for yourself. That's crazy.
I remember
take a bath
when I was
and do it yourself.
Up. When I was growing up as a young woman, that's exactly what I did. I would soak, and then I would get up, and then I would sit down. I would file my nails and polish
right.
my nails. And my it's like, take care. You know, and that's your body's way of knowing that you love it.
Uh-huh.
You love it, not somebody else. You love it. I saw something on, I don't know where I read this, but it was on the internet. It was talking about when we wake up in the morning and before we go to bed, we should consciously tell our body how we feel about it, starting with the toes on up, because every cell in our body loves it when we recognize it. Loves being recognized. Loves that conscious awareness we give it, you know? You ever have a pain in your back and you rub it and you rub it and you start saying to your back, okay, baby, you can stop hurting now. Okay, just let me do this, okay? You know, you start talking to that back. You start talking to that pain. And you start making it kind of ease up. Just ease up a little bit, you know? So.
Right.
The other thing I'm going through, Jules, is wondering, should I retire from my job, my paying job, and I don't know. I think about
it. You just sat there and started talking, you know, you just told the world about, you know, sitting down with their body and talking to their body. Well, you know what? You need to sit down.
I know what you
need to talk to your body and say, is this something that you want
to
do? You know, you like to talk to people and you like to get out there. And I've heard you several times saying you bring, you know, the desserts to your drivers and stuff like that. I think that you need to sit down when you need to talk to your body. Just have a deep conversation with just you and your body and say, do you want to go through another winter with me like this, or do you want to just, you know, just do something else? And I bet you your body's going to let you know something. Yes,
you
it kinda will.
You kind of sound like the topic for the day. No, I don't want my body to, I want my body to gently let me know something. I don't want to do anything drastic to say, well, here you ask.
No. A lot of people would say, what, Jules, you sound like your mama. I'm like, well, that's what my mother would tell me. Sit down, something I can't
and
tell you what to do. Yes.
Right.
Sit down and talk to yourself and ask yourself, what do you want to do? Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, the longest time I had shared with you that one of the reasons why I stayed so long, number one, is for my pension, and number two, is for my medical coverage. And we'll see. I went out to dinner with some friends last night to my son's restaurant out on at Magnolia's at the Mill, and I had a delightful dinner with two friends of mine. And then last Saturday, I had my 3-year-old granddaughter over here whose birthday was 1 October. That's how she says it. When's your birthday, Shirley? 1 October. So she had a birthday on 1 October, but she came over last Saturday. And before we came to the house, we stopped off at State Farms, and I let her pick a pumpkin. And if she could carry it, she could have it. Because I wasn't going to carry the pumpkin for her. She picked out a little teeny one that she could carry. Then she brought it here, and she decorated it and painted it. And then Sunday she baked cookies for her mommy and her brother and her sister. And it dawned on me that's a good way to handle her, because the last time I had her here by myself when it was time for her to go home, Oh, she cried and cried and cried. I don't want to go. I don't want to go home. I want to stay with you. Well, I don't know. It just came to me that while she's painting the pumpkin, I kept saying, ooh, I can't wait till mommy sees that and wait till Nevaeh sees that. And because she baked the cookies and for her mommy and they're going to see you bake these cookies. Now, then when she woke up Sunday, she said, can we go home now? And she had stuff to show everybody. Can we go home now? So I was like, whoa, it dawned on me. So that's the secret. Give her things to do that she can take home to show, and she'll be very happy to go home. So that worked out well.
Wow.
You know, it's amazing the things that the universe showed us that we can do automatically without anyone telling us how it's done. It's just something that comes natural to us, you know?
That's
so with that note, what if anything at all was possible? Anything on the face of this earth? What if there was no fear? What if we could play the field of infinite possibilities? You know that field of infinite possibilities, Jules?
Mm-hmm.
You ever heard of that field? That all things are possible? Well, there's this group of physicists. I know you like to watch, what do you call it? The Big Bang Theory? Well, there's some
quantum
physicists.
Oh, my goodness. That is so funny.
They are
the
funny.
The old ones are funnier than the new ones, but, yeah, so that is funny. Which one's your favorite?
Oh, what's his name? Sheldon. Sheldon, the tall, skinny one. Oh, now I like Cooper Polly too, the East Indian guy. I love him because he is just so dull. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
But,
okay,
Sheldon.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you,
okay.
But yeah.
Well, when we start talking about quantum physicists now to make it, I mean, I don't want to go into the whole theory or the whole science of quantum physics, but it's the study of discrete invisible units of energy. In other words, they see the whole universe as a huge field of potentialities, and quantum physics. It's nothing but a big balls of energy, just energy, and it's all existing simultaneously. So no matter how far you are from me or how near you are from me, our energy, our physical bodies are big balls of energy, so we're ever constantly in touch with one another through all of the energy that's floating throughout all of the universe. That's deep to be, you know, like we just big balls of energy. They're constantly touching, but then we roll up in our own little aspects of ourselves, who we are. You know, it's just hard to fathom, but it's all existing simultaneously, each one waiting to come into being, each one awakening by the relationship of the observer. I'm the observer or the engager of that field. Nothing exists in my reality until I turn around and look at it. And when I observe it, that means it's there. That's deep. So don't think about what's behind your back, Jewel, because there's nothing behind you until you turn around and look and see something behind you. That's spooky, right?
Right.
That's real spooky. There's nothing behind you until you turn around and say, oops. Hello, here's my TV set.
And you can't prove it because you would have to look to see it, and there it is. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So even with a snapshot camera, you're still looking behind you. So,
but even if you take a snapshot of a camera, something on a snapshot of a camera, there is so much interaction going on in that picture that your eye can't even see.
That your eye
can't even see. There is so much there. You know, like there may be another dimension, the spirit world. There may be like a flea.
I don't even want to talk about fleas. Can
flea.
We move on, please?
Yeah.
Let's move on.
Okay, so, but each thing is waiting to come into being. It's as if it's as if all possible futures were already formed, just waiting to be activated. So that's where the observers and the engagers can choose which one we want to see, which we want to live in. Let's say, I tell you what, let's do an example. We just finished talking about the Big Bang Theory, correct? Now,
yep.
Look at your think about your cable vision. Exactly how many channels do you have on that cable?
About like 900. I have
you 900. You got about 900, right?
Yes.
Now, at any given time, there are 900 things going on, 900 channels simultaneously, correct?
Yes.
But you choose to focus on the Big Bang Theory. Just because you choose to focus on the Big Bang Theory, that doesn't stop the other 899 channels from doing what they're doing on their channels. And you don't bring them into your reality until you turn to channel 242. Then what you have done is you've switched off your focus on the Big Bang Theory and you open up your focus on channel 222 or whatever I said before.
Right.
Now that's how it works. We create our own reality by virtue of what we focus on any given moment. Kind of makes sense?
It does.
Tell me if it does or it doesn't. Okay.
It does make sense. It really does.
Right. So we can start to be willing to choose different realities because we are creating realities all the time, whether it's conscious, we're conscious of it or not. So why not choose the best channel to watch? Let's become conscious observers of the most desired reality we want to see. That is so cool. So many people, they refer to this law of attraction when speaking of the mechanisms for manifesting reality. But Deepak Chopra, I remember reading in one of his books, the Spontaneous Fulfillment of Desire. There's a verse from the Veda which says, "What you see, you become." In other words, just the experience of perceiving the world makes you what you are. So, I like the concept of the TV set. And that thought just popped up in my head when I was reading. Well, I believe I read it in this book that we're going to review today called E Squared, because that's my book of the month. I'm going to be playing with that book for a while because that book is interesting. We'll get into the book in a minute. So some of the basic information regarding the law of attraction is very useful, such as what we are most focused on in our thoughts and intention draws experiences that are a match. Like, what was that? When you were finally decided you were going to give up cocoa, what began to happen, your unconscious conscious decision began to bring different things into focus and options available for you to choose from. Is that not correct?
Yes.
But
if we're more focused
on what we're lacking, the universe will provide us with more of that. The theory being that the universe is neutral and gives us more of what we are running over and over and over and over again in our minds. It's kind of like having a bad day. One unwanted thing happens. We react from a place of lack, like a victim of the circumstance, and then more unwanted experiences come along. Now, I'm going to tell you, for the past 2 weeks, I have been waking up in the morning, and this is horrible. Not that I'm waking up in the morning. That's not the horrible part.
I'm like, oh, my goodness, that's a good thing. Hello, say it. Okay, you said
that's
it.
A good thing. It's what happens to be on my mind when I wake up. Well, you know, I don't know if I told you, but I fell in love with Bruno Mars. I like his song. So I ran out and I got Bruno Mars' CD, and I play it often, but I had to stop playing it because my favorite song comes from the video called The Lazy Song. And it's a cute little song because he and his buddies are in his bedroom, and they are dressed up, his buddies are dressed up like monkeys. So it's like little toys. They're like monkeys in the bedroom singing the song. But the words to the song that popped into my head from this lazy song, when I open up my eyes, I hear myself say, "Today I don't feel like doing anything.
Oh,
I just want to stay in my bed." That's what I'm saying. Like, that is not cool, because I lay there and the words to that song pop up in my head, and oh my gosh, I don't feel like doing anything. I just want to stay in my bed. You know what I'm saying? So
yes.
I have to push the words of that song out of my mind, because what I begin to do is I begin to call that into my reality. And so when it's a good day, more of the desired experiences will show up. So the idea is to put ourselves in the mindset and the felt sense of already having that which we desire. So I need to wake up in the morning saying, "Woo-hoo, it's a new day. I can't wait to jump up out of the bed and go do a lot of stuff, but I have some stuff that I want to do."
Well, I just want to say this. Everybody needs to give Duchess a clap of a hand for her singing. You know what I'm saying? Because that was beautiful. I love the way you sung that song. And everybody needs to call in and say, you know, call into 347-324-3030 and you know, give us a little bit of some input on what we are discussing today. And that would be great. You know, some input. But Duchess, you sang that song. But
don't tell Bruno Mars that I sang his song.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, but maybe
yes. People
will go on YouTube and pull up the video, The Lazy Song. That's what it's titled. Bruno Mars is The Lazy Song. It's the cutest little video. So the idea is to put ourselves in the mindset and the felt sense of feeling of already having that which we desire. It's like stepping into a future vision and how about seeing it, tasting it, smelling it, feeling it, and celebrating it. Like, whoa, I'm going to have a good day today. This is, you know. And trusting that this experience is true and that it will manifest. Then it's like walking around feeling gratitude for that experience all day long, you know. I remember 6 years ago, that's all I said. I was going to have to get me Subaru Outback everywhere I went in my van. I sang the Subaru Outback. I put a picture of a Subaru Outback on my door, and I saw it coming and going, and Subaru Outback. And before long, y'all know the story. I'm driving a Subaru Outback.
That's wonderful.
We have to focus on this. We have to focus on that which we
But you got, like we always say, Duchess, you got to be specific and you got to be truthful to yourself. You know, there's so many people out there wanting to win the lottery, and that's what they, I'm going to win this lottery. But in your deep subconscious, you don't want to win the lottery because you don't want all that, the BS that comes with you. Oh, Lord, my family members that I don't even know are going to come from all over the country and asking me for money. So do you really want to win that lottery ticket? Or are you just fooling yourself?
And
it's
that's
why you don't win.
Behind the thought. The thought behind the thought. I want to win the lottery ticket, but like Jules is saying, the thought behind the thought is, oh, Lord, if I win the lottery, everybody's going to want to know me then, you know. So it's the thought behind the thought. And, you know, that's
and
the way
Duchess
we play
really
it out.
Wanted to win that. I heard of sometimes.
I really wanted to. And my thought behind the thought Well, my thought behind the thought is I want to go to Australia. I intend to go to Australia, and so the thought behind the thought is I need to go and get my passport ready because I'm just going to proceed to do the things that need to be done in order for me to put that into play. All right? People recommend activating and holding your intended vision for 10 to 30 minutes every day. Now, you know, I don't think we really need to be put on a schedule. I think after a while, it just comes into play. It's just something that you just think about. And I didn't think about it 10 to 30 minutes every day. Subaru, I thought about it all day. When I was driving my car, I'd see Subaru. I said, whoa, look at that Subaru. I'm going to get you. Oh, I had a song, and I had my granddaughter singing the song, Subaru Outback. And she'd even come out of the daycare, and she'd say, Grandma, is that Vanny? Because I had a van, and I'd say, yeah, that's Vanny. And she'd say, so where's Subaru Outback? And if you get children involved in your vision, I'm telling you, they are magical.
Yes.
The thoughts of children are so magical because
they're not caught up in that thought behind the thought.
When I told the grandchildren that we're going to Australia, it's their mama that may say, you know, your grandma out, you don't know what she's talking about. You put the I don't know what I'm talking about thought in their brain. Because as long as they're not around you, they thinking we going to Australia because Grandma said so. All right?
Grandma didn't say when. She just said she going. So that's what they
think. That's right.
We going.
Absolutely. You know, the other thing that I do know is those persons who do meditate, who are meditators, Deepak Chopra talks about, he calls it the field of pure potentiality. It's like that darkness that, you know, just as you're going into the void, the darkness of your minute, drop that seed in there. Australia, the seed. See yourself in Australia as you're doing the meditation thing. And that's where all things are possible in that pure field of potentiality. And it would be nice to feel into the already manifested reality. To feel steady gratitude for such a generous universe, because the universe is generous. But we get caught up, once again, in the thought behind that thought. Now, I want to go to Australia, but Lord, it's going to cost me $2,000 for a ticket to Australia, and then what about I want two little children to go with me, and then there's round, and am I going to be able to handle two children in Australia, just me by myself? Oh, well, now we got to take an adult with me. Which adult should I take? Should it be my son? Oh, no, he works all the time, so he won't be able to get off from his job. You know what I'm saying? You start thinking
right.
of all the reasons why you can't go to Australia.
And Australia starts fading away. It starts fading away. Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, like what keeps popping up is what you say is not has, what keeps popping up is seeing what has not yet emerged and then worrying about it or doubting it. There's this guy, Wayne Dwyer. He has this book called The Power of an Intention, and he suggests act as if everything you desire is already here. Treat yourself as if you already are what you'd like to become. Treat yourself as though you have everything you desire to have. Seeing yourself as the person you want to become by imagining how that person would act in any given situation is what the Bible, some people say kind of like, what would Jesus do? Well, instead mm-hmm. of asking that, ask what would be more a more evolved version of myself, and then do that. You know, I mean, if I was more evolved than what I am now today, what would that look like? And then go ahead and do yourself a good deed by perfecting that, because pretty soon.
Right.
It won't be acting anymore. You will have become that which you have desired to become. You will receive that which you
have desire to receive. Believe everything is possible and that the greatest gift we hold as humans is our ability to create. With the power we have in our hearts, we have the most potent fuel we need for retelling our story and thereby creating ourselves and our world. Now, Esther Hicks and Abraham, she channels Abraham. And Esther Hicks has said, I'm not able to quote Abraham, but that emotion we put behind the thought, behind that desire, that feeling we give it when we say, Australia, the Aborigine, whoa, and we get all caught up in the feeling and the emotion of it, that adds fuel to the creative power, you know? I'm just talking my little book.
Wow, because no, you're not. I mean, it's starting to bring up a little something, you know, that I want to share with the friends out there that I have. It's like, you know, I have epilepsy. It's no stranger to anybody out there, but I have seizures. And I'm not going to tell the people out there not to take their medicine because, you know, you have to have your medicine to control it. But I have the feeling that if I don't take my medicine within 24 hours, I will have a seizure. I mean, it's a feeling down deep in my heart that I have put there that if I don't take my medication for 24 hours, I have a seizure. And that is embedded, and it does happen. Within 24 hours, if I forget in the night, forget in the day, by that night, I will have a seizure. Now, everybody who has seizures, everybody most likely have told their doctors, have been told by their doctors, if they are on 100% disability, they're not supposed to work, go to school, or drive. Why? Because the stress of a seizure will cause a seizure. And I've had epilepsy for over 8 years. And I have told myself, no secondhand or whatever Duchess was saying, no thought behind thought, said that I could not drive. Now, I don't go to school and I don't work. I don't. Because that is stressful. I have been to school, tried to study for exams, had a seizure in class. I have worked, dropped to the ground. I have done these things, but I have to get where I have to go. I have to do what I have to do. I cannot sit up in the house. Buses don't run some places where I need to be. So I have told myself, you will drive, and you will not have a seizure on the highway. You will not have a seizure on the road. You know when these seizures are coming. You will pull over, put the car in park, and you will have one. But you do not have seizures. For over 8 years, I have never had a seizure on the road, ever. I make sure I take my medicine. I drive my car. I don't have seizures, and that has been my lesson from the almighty higher power. I had one doubt over these many, 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 many years. And I think I had this doubt because I wanted that sympathy act. You know how when you just, oh, please, please this and please that me, you know, you want that sympathy. Well, I'm really not supposed to be driving. And oh, come here, sweetie, give me a hug and all of that. Well, it happened. I had a seizure. I was, where did this come from? I never had no seizure.
Right.
And so I cracked that effort. I put it out there. You don't put out there in the universe what you do not want to happen because the universe takes you seriously. You know, if this is what you want, I'm going to give you what you want because you never asked for it before. So here, this is what you asked for. This is what you want. You never said, I was just kidding. This is what you asked for. And so I had it. It was the most scariest thing, but I knew what to do. I put that car in park, pulled over to the side of the road. My girlfriend said, do not put on your hazards, just put on your direction light, because if you put on your hazards, then a cop's going to come up behind you, and then he's going to wonder what's wrong with you, but everything's going to be okay. Do you understand? And I said, I understand. She had called me right when it happened, so it flashed me out of it before it took full effect. So,
right.
Jessica's right. Please. Your mind is so powerful that your thoughts are powerful. So that's
be careful what you think about, because thoughts are things. Be careful what you call to yourself, because thoughts are things. But you see, we do have a mechanism within our thought processes that we can say, scratch, scratch. Don't want that to happen. Scratch, let's rewrite that program. You know, you don't want to keep that program running if it's not a program you intend to come about. Because you can begin to see how it is a tool, your mind is a tool with which to master your journey through life. When you create your own reality, it should be for the purpose of putting energy out there into the universe that will begin remaking the world as you want it to be, not as you don't want it to be. So don't think about what you don't want, because this is not about living in denial, because the law of physics still apply and gravity still pulls us to the ground, okay? So this is not about denial. Okay, here are a few things, a few ways to create your own reality in order for the universe to accept the energy you send out and deliver back to that reality. Deepak Chopra, he has this in his book, Seven Spiritual Laws of Success, and he talks about that first spiritual law of success is the law of pure potentiality, and it says that our essential state is one of pure potential. So that means that it's just pure. I mean, all that we see around us, we took from that pure state and we created this.
Mm-hmm.
So pure potentiality is pure consciousness. It is the field of all possibilities and infinite creativity. Our physical body, the physical universe, everything in the material world comes from the same place. A field of silent, unmoving awareness from which anything is possible. There is no separation between this field of energy and our spiritual essence, our self, this field of our own self. Now, this became true for me when I used to live with my daughter in a house, and I had a room, and my head faced the window. My bed, I had a single bed, my head faced the window, and it was one little teeny bedroom, and my computer was across from me. I don't even want to get into that story because it takes too long to tell. All I'm saying is that there was this little ditty that I said, I put this change in this glass every day, and what I would be saying is, this money I'm placing into my bank is adding to my wealth. My wealth and prosperity increases each day. I have lots of money, and I have lots of money. I'm grateful for the abundance that surrounds me. I see that I'm surrounded by so much wealth, and that my every need is being provided for by the unlimited abundance of the universe. And I would get up and I would say this every day, and I would look around this little room and I would say, I am grateful for all this that surrounds me. Well, shortly thereafter, I got into a one-bed apartment. But all I had was a single bed. And what was so real freaky was my bed, the single bed that I had in the living room, not in the bedroom, because the bedroom was empty, because I didn't have a full-size bed. But my head was facing the same way as it was in that one little teeny room. My head faced, my computer was directly across from me. So although I was seeing the same vision, it was bigger. But it was the same thing. It was like The names and faces had changed, but the game was still the same. It was like the same identical vision. Then when I left there and I moved someplace else, it was even bigger. But the whole layout was the same. So what I had to do was I had to create a different vision because it was the same thing, you know. So we have this field of pure potentiality going here, and we create it. But how we create it, do we change the color of the paint? How we create it? It presents itself to us. So there's no separation between this field of energy and our spiritual essence of ourselves.
That's the field, it is
our own self. Go ahead.
Wow, that is so deep. And I'm going to change it just a little bit because, you know, you talk about yourself and you talk about walking. You talk about walking your walk and talking your talk. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, go around and they say, I am fat. They look in the mirror, they say, I am fat. So they put out in the universe, I am fat. So what are they going to see? I am fat. So they become fat. And sometimes you wonder, you know, big people, you like, oh, she is big. Oh, my goodness, she is fat. But you see her, and she doesn't act like she is fat. Why? Because she walks her walk and she talks her talk. But what you need to say to the universe is, I am going to lose. And it's not I'm going to. I am this weight. You put around your house, I am this weight. Just like you put around, I am going to get that Subaru Outback. You put around your house what weight that you want to be, you know, and you start walking and you start doing this. And like you said from the book, you walk it, you know. You walk the way you want to walk and you talk the way you want to talk. Isn't that how you start losing what you want to lose?
Or you can say my body. My body carries its weight with perfect ease. You know, so now if the weight that you're carrying is not perfect ease, then you're going to start losing some weight because you want your body to carry that weight with perfect ease. Or,
okay, so you won't get up and you hurt and you crack and oh,
you know,
man.
There's a song I used to sing. Oh, my gosh. I'm going to think of it because I used to sing this song, and it was a cute little song about my weight. Yeah, I don't know that it helped. Well, let's put it this way. I haven't gotten heavier. Okay? When we know that our essential nature is one of pure potentiality, we align with the power that manifests everything in the universe. Knowing who we really are gives us the ability to fulfill any dream we have, because the same field that nature uses to create a forest, a galaxy, or a human body can also bring about the fulfillment of our desires. I think that is so, so beautiful.
It is.
And anything is possible. Anything is possible. That's why I like Deepak Chopra's 7 Spiritual Laws of Success, because in them you realize that anything, because this field is the source of power, all intelligence and infinite organizing ability. Therefore, success in life depends on knowing who we really are. When our internal reference,
comfortable with who we are too.
That's
you
true.
Gotta be comfortable with
right
who you
that.
Are.
Absolutely, absolutely. When our internal reference point is the ego, you know, it's that ego thing. I like this. Oh, we can't forget about that ego.
Oh.
Okay. When our internal reference point is our spirit, our true self, we experience all the power of our spirit. But when our internal reference point is the ego or self-image, we feel cut off from our source, and the uncertainty of events creates fear and doubt. The ego is influenced by objects outside the self. circumstances, people, and things. That's what the ego is concerned. The ego is concerned about saving face. It thrives on the approval of others. It wants the control because it lives in fear. But the ego is not who we really are. The ego is our social mask. It is the role we are playing. The need for approval, the need for control of things, the need for external power are fear-based.
The need for approval.
The need for control of, yeah.
Approval.
I don't want to turn our show into a political faction here. We don't want to get too deep in the politics of the world, of the United States of America. But if we look at our Congress right now, what are those egos afraid of? Huh?
Take it away.
Getting what you want at the expense of others suffering. That's what the ego wants to do. Get what he wants at the expense of others suffering. This kind of power is not the power of pure potentiality, the power of the self or true power. Self-power is true power because it is based on the laws of nature and comes from knowledge of the self. Self-power draws things that we want to us. It magnetizes people, situations, and things to support our desires. This support from the law of nature is the state of grace. When we are in harmony with nature, we create a bond between our own desires and the power to make these desires materialize. So, if what you're out to do is create havoc, destruction, you know, you can't be wanting stuff that's going to be at the risk of other people being hurt or other people doing things that you want against their will. Be careful asking for stuff like make her love me. Not good. You know? If it's the highest good of her destiny for that she should love me or that he should love me, if it's for the highest good of their destiny, then let it be. Like tomorrow, okay? But if it's not for the highest good of their destiny, then you really don't want them loving you. You really don't. Well, I want to talk about the book. Let's give this book a little bit of a chit-chat because it would be nice if those persons out there who are listening would purchase this book because I really want to discuss this book next week. We may have a topic for next week, but it would be nice if everyone would be able to purchase this book so that we can, Amazon.com, it's about $14. You might be able to buy it used and it would be about $2, but the book's title is E Squared, and we have about 30 minutes more so we can talk about the book. So, the book's author is Pam Grout, and it's E Squared. It's a black cover with a big old shiny golden E on it with a 2 squared it, squared the E. And the book is, the reviews are saying that you don't have to face reality. You can create reality. And E Squared could best be described as a lab manual with simple experiments to prove once and for all that you shape your life with your mind. Rather than take it on faith, you are invited to conduct 9 48-hour experiments to prove there really is a positive, loving, totally hip force in the universe. And they say, yes, it can be proved. And so I got the book, and I'm going to start doing the experiment, and it should be fun. That's what I'm looking at it being. The experiments each the experiments, each of which are conducted without any money, so you don't need any money. And it says it's very little time. They don't take forever. So you'll find some results right away. So you think you'll be able to work some of these experiments with me, Jules? Would you like to? Because I'd like to have you keep me some company. Working
that
on
would
some
be,
of these.
That would be great.
I think
mean,
it
would
be fun.
Okay. I mean, I'll try. You know, my schedule is all, you know, convoluted and stuff. Yeah, right. Anyway, yes.
I don't think the experiments are going to be something that's going to change the course of our day. It'll probably be waking up in the morning and think about, I haven't gotten to the experiments yet. But they say they demonstrate that spiritual principles are as dependable as gravity, as consistent as Newton's laws of motion. How many of us have been wanting proof? Well, the proof is in doing these experiments. Many of us have been wanting proof, been hoping and praying that spiritual principles are true. And it says E squared proves the following. Following are, there is an invisible energy force or field of infinite possibility. Two, you impact the field and draw from it according to your beliefs and expectations. Three, you too are a field of energy. Four, whatever you focus on expands. Five, your connection to the field provides accurate and unlimited guidance. Six, your thoughts and consciousness impact matter. I can see me moving stuff now. Seven, your thoughts and consciousness provide the support structure for your physical body. Eight, you are connected to everything and everyone else in the universe. And nine, the universe is limitless, abundant, and strangely accommodating. Now, this is going to be cool because each one of these nine things that I have just said, there is an experiment attached to it to prove that what I just said is true. So it's going to be fun. You are connected to everything and everyone else in the universe? Oh, that's going to be interesting. The thoughts, let's see, what you focus on expands. So we're going to focus on something and it's going to get bigger? Oh, yeah. I'm going to sit, yeah, okay, I don't want to sound trite, but I know some of the stuff I'm going to focus on so that it can expand.
Okay, me too. Okay, this is going to be
you
fun.
Absolutely. We're going to have a good old time focusing and watching stuff expand. It should be a great time. Oh, me. So it's been really good. It's been really good. What we got left? What we got some time left? What do you want to do now? What do we want to do now?
I don't know. Do we have any calls? Is anyone going to call us? I mean, come on. We want to hear from y'all.
I see a 212 number there, but you know what? They ain't raised their finger so that they don't want to talk to us, but that's okay. They've been listening. We got some callers out there listening. They just not in the
That's
mood to
awesome.
Chit-chat. But I like the fact that they're listening to us and keeping us company. Mm.
That's cool. Mm. You want to do... Go ahead.
I was going to ask you, what are you going to do for Halloween? That's the next holiday coming up. You going to get dressed up for Halloween?
No. No. And I don't have the baby. But I noticed that, you know, a lot of people don't come by my house for Halloween. So I have a lot of candy and then they don't come by my house. And this is like one of the first Halloweens that I don't have my children because, you
okay.
know, they used to go to Halloween up until they were 18 years old because they loved the candy. So
okay.
I'm not dressing up. How about you?
Let me ask you a question.
Oh,
let me ask you. No, I'll be working.
Oh, okay.
I'll be working, so I don't have to do anything for Halloween because I'm usually on my job. By the time I get off from work, you know, the Halloween trick or treat is over. Now, let me tell you, you want somebody to come to your house. Number one, you got to have a porch light on.
Well, all the porch
people
lights
have got. You got to have a light on over your door. There's got to be a light. The other thing is, you got to have something Halloween-y on your door.
Oh.
Children are smart these days. They're not knocking on a door that there's no light on the door saying welcome, and there's nothing Halloween-y outside the door saying please knock on my door.
Okay.
I didn't know in that for years. I don't know where you've been. When you had your children were little, didn't you take them out trick or treating?
Well,
and
yes.
And you didn't let them knock on all the doors. You just said, oh, don't go to that house because the light's off. Oh, don't go to that house. Go to this one next door because they got Halloween
stuff. So all the lights are on. I mean, I live in an apartment, so all the lights are on, whether you want them on or not. But the Halloween stuff, yes. Okay, I understand that.
No. I think for sure, in order for people to see what your apartment number is at night, there is a light over your door or right there in the vicinity of being over your door or very near your door.
Right. And that's for me
and
across the hall and down the way. Everybody's house,
okay,
everybody's apartment's lit up. Yes.
Okay, and it's
every
on
night. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well then now you need something Halloween-y on your door.
Okay. Well,
yeah, you gotta put a skeleton or something out there on your door or a pumpkin on the ground that's decorated so that they'll know that this is a Halloween house. I don't like opening up my door. You got a peephole?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. You're opening up your door to strangers. Didn't your mama teach you better?
Yes, Duchess. Thank you.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, let's talk about what's the card for the night. I don't know. This has been like a real kind of sort of, I don't know, silly night. I do have to do a little disclosure first before we get into your animal card. Animal card for the night. Because we talk about a lot of stuff. We talk about people trying different things, but we always have to do the disclaimer and say the information we share here will never be offered as medical advice and should not be considered medical advice or treatment, nor religious doctrine, and is not intended to replace a one-on-one relationship with a qualified healthcare professional. Always seek the advice of a physician or other qualified healthcare professional regarding any mental or physical health condition or treatment. And that's because we don't want nobody taking what we say and thinking that we think we're doctors, because we're not.
Right.
Things that Jules and I do, we try ourselves personally, and we just, you know,
share
them with you.
It's stuff that we believe in. Right, it's stuff that
Absolutely.
We believe in, you know. Not everybody believes
Absolutely.
In what we believe in.
Right, and especially next show or shows down the road, we're going to be doing the aromatherapy and essential oils, and we're going to be talking about herbs and stuff like that. We're talking about medicinal herbs, and we'll probably be talking about food-based herbs and those kinds of things. And everybody's system can't take that. Like the lady who went to the intuitive, the herbalist, you know. I heard him tell her, don't stop taking the medicine that the doctors gave you. Now, these will not have any adverse interaction with them. You know, and probably the herbs she got were more or less food-based herbs. When you're doing food-based herbs, they don't have adverse reaction with your medication. You know, like cinnamon, nutmeg, stuff like that. You know, those are considered your food-based herbs. And then there are medicinal herbs, you know, like ginkgo biloba. That's considered a medicinal type herb. So herbs have their different properties, and we don't want anybody getting sick because they tried something, thinking Jules and I we think we doctors, and we're not professional. We don't give professional advice. So it's been really good. It's really nice. I thought we were gonna have a rainstorm today, Jules, but the sun is shining. You think it was summer? I could have this weather all year long. I'm not looking forward to anything but wonderful, wonderful, warm winter. Let me tell you what I'm looking forward to. All right? Mm-hmm. I ain't going to tell you what I don't want. I'm telling you what I want. Okay? I'm telling you what I'm looking forward to having. A warm winter. So,
nice.
Ready for this heart?
Yes, go ahead, yes.
Okay, do your thing. Tell people the thing. Tell them to warm themselves up. Tell them to...
Okay, everyone, start giving your vibration, your energy to the card as she flips them around and shuffles them up. Okay, ready, Duchess, stop.
Gotcha. Oh, my.
Okay,
look
what is
here,
it?
Look at here. Well, first you need to know that it's the dragonfly. But it's not dragonfly straight up. It's dragonfly contrary. So that's kind of sort of like, you know, if you want to think positive and negative, because we never think of negative. We're just saying it's contrary. Contrary to it being straight up. So let's see what contrary dragonfly is. I don't think I've ever known what this is. So, excuse me. Are you trying to prove to yourself or someone else that you have power? Are you caught in an illusion that weakens your true feelings or minimizes your ability? If so, you may have contracted dragonfly dive bombing. Is this the final crash and burn for some pipe dream that had no real purpose? Look within and feel the sense of self-energy within yourself. Notice if it is ebbing and find the point in time when you were deluded into believing that you would be happier if you changed because someone else wanted you to. Misery is a prime clue that you lost your will and personal validity when you bought into someone else's idea of who or what you should be. The illusion was that you would be happier if you did it their way. In forfeiting what you know is right and true for you personally, you give away your power. It is time for you to take it back. Follow Dragonfly to the place inside your body where magic is still alive and drink deeply of its power. This strength belongs to you. It is the power of becoming is the illusion. This ability is ever-changing and contains within it the knowledge that you are creating it all. Whoa. It's dragonfly right on the money with today's topic.
Mm-hmm.
You are creating it all. Yes.
Wow.
So, that's dragonfly.
Wow.
Dragonfly is... hot dangy. Well, Jules, our next show is October the 20th, Sunday, October the 20th. I'm really looking forward to that. I don't have a subject for that show right now to speak of. I'm going to see if I can get in touch with the lady to do the aromatherapy and essential oils. I want to remind people of our Indigo Rising Fund at our website, Inside Matters Talk. We have a lot of indigos coming up all around us, and they're young, and they want to explore their spirituality, but they don't know which way to turn, and we encourage them to go to workshops that they may or may not be able to afford, and this is what we want the fund for. Nothing expensive or extravagant, just 101 type of spirituality workshops for them to be able to just tap in and tune in to who they are and what they are becoming and why they are here. So on that note, is there anything I forgot to say, Jules? Let me know before we sign off.
I don't think so. I think we completed everything. You talked about your inside. I talked about mine, and I know we had some listeners out there. And I think we completed everything for today. I had a very good time. I really did. I think the show was very, very, very well informative.
Okay.
Had a good time.
With that said, we can sign off. And until next week, this is Duchess. And
this is Jill.
Out there.
This is Jill. See you next week. Have a good night.
And we're sending everyone lots of love, light, and blessings. Be good. Thank you.